chapter 2 and verse number 2. Brother Adam, would you go back there in the office in that jacket I have? It's got my reading glasses in it. I thought I had them in this jacket. I want to preach to you tonight. The Lord dealt with me this at 4:30 this morning. Sit down just for a second. I had this thought, and I need your help. Everybody say, the pastor, he needs our help. I mentioned this to a couple of folks I was having lunch with today. By the way, our church blessed Rib Crib today. The whole church turned out there. Almost the whole church turned out there for lunch. And then on top of that, Brother Harwood, several of his people were there. So it was Pentecostal Alley today. But as I was eating, I began to think about last night. And I'm just being honest with you. When I got up to pray, I don't always do that. I should. Whenever God's admonishing me to pray, I should get up out of that lazy bed and pray. But I did last night. And I lost a lot of sleep over the next little while. And when I went back to bed, I don't know that I slept. But I felt fine. And then today, after church was over, man, I felt it coming on. You know what I'm talking about. And so I had this thought. Because the other day I was reading about a church that the children said that they heard their mom and dad pray often in all-night prayer meetings at their house. Now, this is not ancient of days. This is back in the 60s and 70s and early 80s. It was not uncommon for dad to go on an all-night prayer meeting. And here's what I want you to pray about. I thought, God, now, you know how I'm feeling right now, and I'm not discouraged, but I feel you're calling me to this. You're calling me to prayer. You're calling me to be instant when you call my voice or my name by your voice. And Lord, I just wonder if you'd meet me in the middle. Now, what I mean by that is, I told Brother Watt, I said, Brother Watt, I said, I'm not asking God to take it all away because there's a sacrifice that's required. Those people that prayed all-night prayer meetings, I'll guarantee you, they didn't feel fresh every day, 100%. But you know that God had to intervene in some fashion for them to go ahead and get their work day done. Praise the Lord. And so I'm just asking you this year to challenge yourself to do something you haven't done ever or in a long time. Amen. And ask God for the sustenance. Trust God that He'll meet you in the middle. You understand you're going to leave something, as it were, on the table. You're going to leave a sacrifice there. Jacob was marked by the all-night prayer meeting. He wrestled with the Lord until the break of day. And I guess when they put Jacob in the coffin, he still had that sinew removed from his thigh there where he had wrestled with the angel. There was a marking. Amen. And we need to be marked. We need to be marked that we've been with Jesus. But I just felt encouraged today as I began to talk to a couple of brothers in the Lord about this. And I just think that God is trying to teach this Sepulpa Church to go back to the places where we've been before and dig out some things and dig out some old wells that's been clogged up by carnality, clogged up by laziness of the flesh, clogged up by excuses. Amen. And dig those things out from the pastor right on down to the youngest member of this church and dig these things out and just watch God work and see what God will do. Praise the name of the Lord. Let's love the Lord today. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Amen. Now, I'm going to go ahead. I know you're standing up in your heart. You've already stood up twice. I'm going to let you remain seated for that reason. I know that you will always honor us by standing for the word of the Lord. But just go ahead and remain seated. Habakkuk chapter number 2 and verse number 2. Thank you, Jesus. Actually, we'll start with verse number 1. It says, I will stand upon my watch and set me upon the tower and will watch to see what he shall say unto me and what I shall answer when I am reproved. And I looked at that word, And I felt last night a little reproved. I felt a little challenged. I felt a little disciplined. Amen. And God calling this preacher to prayer. And God calling this preacher to challenge this church. Here's what it said. And the Lord answered me and said, write the vision and make it plain upon the tables that he may run that readeth it. Amen. For the vision is yet for an appointed time, but at the end it shall speak and not lie. Though it will tarry, wait for it, because it will surely come. It will not tarry. Amen. And I want to preach to you from this thought tonight, and I know God's going to help us because I felt him in the Holy Ghost last night in prayer. Settle it and make it plain. Settle it and make it plain. Jesus, I'm asking you, Lord, to speak to this congregation tonight. You know what you've laid upon this preacher's heart. You know what you've laid upon this pastor's heart. I'm asking you, Lord, oh God, to help us. In the name of the Lord, 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 help us in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, we visited with Brother Watt and told you about him. Now we're going to talk about Brother Bryant. Y'all want us to talk about Brother Bryant tonight for a little bit? Brother Bryant said something today that I would like to share with you, and I believe he's exactly right. He was talking, he said he read a book here a while back, and it was talking about the pastor, and it was talking about the evangelist. And what he had to say made a lot of sense. He said the work of the pastor is different from the work of the evangelist. Because the work of the pastor, the very nature of a pastor or shepherd, is to get near the sheep. To really get to know the sheep. But the work of the evangelist, not so. The work of the evangelist is a provoker. I got evangelized last night by Jesus. He provoked me. Amen. He got me up. He stirred me up. He made me want to repent. He made me want to pray. He made me want to get past my Laodicea. Amen. That's the work of the evangelist. The work of the pastor can do that, and no doubt he will do that tonight. But the work of the pastor is to get close and watch over the sheep. He knoweth them by name. Read John chapter 10. Amen. He knoweth his sheep, but they know his voice. And he smells the sheep. Amen. I know that sounds kind of funny to you, but he knows what I mean by smell. I'm not telling and talking about whether you stink or don't stink, but I'm talking about how you operate. He senses out you and what makes you click and what makes you sick. And he's got a work to do. And the work of the pastor is heavy. And so the work of the pastor, woe be unto that church that never visits the office of the evangelist. Woe be unto that pastor that thinks he's got it all and that his church needs nothing else but his voice. Friend, that pastor is in trouble because the church, amen, is perfected and edified by the fivefold ministry. And he gave some apostles, some prophets, some pastors, some teachers, amen, some evangelists. Why? For the perfecting of the saints until we all come into the knowledge of the truth. Praise God. And so I love it when the good evangelist will come along. Amen. You know what he's doing? He's lifting the pastor's load for a moment. He's taking and going some places, amen, that the pastor's willing to go, but the pastor is going there quite often, and the pastor knows things. Amen. You can't be hanging around a bunch of sheep and not learn things. But unless the Holy Ghost reveals, the evangelist coming in the door, he don't know anything. He's totally working and walking in the Holy Ghost. What a beautiful thing, and what a help for the pastor. Everybody say right now, God bless the work of the evangelist. Oh, I'm telling you what, we've got a column in our finances, and it's called the evangelistic account, and we pay our evangelist out of there, and it's a wonderful thing, and you have helped us. Amen. You don't just put all that on the pastor, but you have given into that, and it's a blessing unto this church, and then you give when the evangelist comes, and you help him, amen, because he's worthy of his labor. Praise the Lord. So Brother Bryant was exactly right in that. Amen. And so back to the pastor. He's the watchman on the wall. He's looking out for the sheep. Amen. There's different things that come through the door of the church. Not all good. Amen. There's some seducing spirits and doctrines of devils that come in. And I'm telling you what, they can look very Pentecostal. They don't always look like the harlot off the street. They don't always look out like the alcoholic and skid whatever you call that place, the gutter. Amen. But sometimes they can be Sister Susie coming in here. She's not a sheep. She likes to devour the sheep. She's a wolf in sheep's clothing. Brother is a wolf in sheep's clothing. And you know, I hadn't been pastoring here very long, and I saw somebody treating visitors from another church that were kind of snooping around on the flock, wanting to kind of leave their flock and come over here. And this person was treating them just like they did the sinner off the street that didn't have a church to go to. And I got real mad. And I was griping to my wife about it. I said, I wish they would stop that and let me take care of that, because I don't want those people to come unless it's the will of God, because they have a flock they belong to. I don't like this change in churches stuff. God will call us to a place, and we should stay there. Amen. We shouldn't move ourselves. It should definitely be the will of God and the work of God. And I'm going to tell you what, the pastor will feel it, and the pastor will know it. Amen. And my wife rebuked me. Did y'all know the wife rebukes sometimes? Yeah. Especially the pastor's wife. Thank God. A pastor that feels like his wife has nothing to say to him, amen, and God can't use her as a mouthpiece to reach him, it's playing foolish. Because I'm telling you, God will speak, because that's his helpmeet. Amen. Presidents of the United States have known and understand that the First Lady, they better listen to what she has to say sometimes, because she has a different vantage point. She has a different viewpoint. And Sister Marshall was just exactly right. She said, honey, they're not the shepherd. You are. They're just loving the people. You're the one that's the watch. You're the one that would naturally feel the way you do. You're on guard. Amen? And so the pastor has a job. The pastor has a calling. The pastor has a duty. And the saints of God that's under his ministry can make it very easy, or they can make it very hard. I know pastors that's had absolute nervous breakdowns, and wives that have had absolute nervous breakdowns, because the sheep in the, well, they're not sheep, but whatever they are, goats, wolves, whatever they are in that church, decided to devour the pastor's family. They decided to be a real problem. Amen. And a real turn up. Every time they turned up, the pastor's life was miserable. The pastor's wife was miserable. That's not the will of God. If you're a saint, you will help your pastor. Let me say it again. If you're a saint, you will help your pastor. Amen. Now, I realize, you blessed people, that there's going to be some times of some things you're going through, and you can't help yourself. You're going through trials. And yeah, your pastor is going to be up that night. He is going to be losing sleep over you, because you're in a trial. Amen. Apostle Peter, Jesus said, Simon, listen to me. I have seen, and Satan has desired to have you, that he may sift you like wheat. But I have prayed for you that your faith fail not. It's taken me just a little bit to get where I'm going tonight. Amen. But bear with me, because I got a message to preach to you. Praise the Lord. And so that happens in the church. Every one of us are a Simon at different times. Every one of us, Satan desires to sift us and to see if he can't destroy us. Well, guess who besides you that bothers very much? A good shepherd that has a heart for his sheep, and he's going to lose some sleep over it. But don't make it just because you're carnal and indifferent and wishy-washy. Don't make it just because you're hard-nosed and stubborn and a backbiter and want to cause, amen, or pull disciples unto you. Let it be because you're being tried. Amen. So it tells us here that he said, write the vision and make it plain upon the tablets. Amen. Now, it said here in another translation that a herald, what was that? The caller, the one that declared the news before there was written paper. A herald, or extra, read all about it. He had the tablets. He had the things written down so that a herald may run with it, or so that a runner can carry to the correct message to others. Friend, what I'm going to be preaching to you tonight, that ye are epistles known and read of all men. This is not a place of debate. This is the church, the pillar and ground of truth. What that means is, this is not a discussion place. This is not a discussion station. This is the church of the living God. We're here because we've nailed some things down. Everything that we believe is not up for debate every time we have church, every time we meet together. No, amen. We need to write it, and we need to cast that vision and make it plain so everybody knows and understand this is who we are. This is what we believe. Preach with me tonight. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Oh, here's another thing. Write it clearly enough to make it readable at a glance. There are some things that people present to me, and it's clear as a bell. I can just read it at a glance, or I can just hear it at a hearing. And then there's other things I read or I hear and I think, what in the world are they talking about? Where are they coming from? And you, as a saint of God, you as a preacher, you as a teacher, can do one of two things. You can either do what I'm talking about tonight. Amen. You can settle it in your heart. You're not always wondering what you believe. You're not always trying to search out and see, do I really believe this or do I not? But you're one that's settled. You've made it plain in your spirit. Amen. And the past pastor can count on you to not teach something that he's not teaching. The pastor can count on you that you settle it in your spirit. This is the truth. Walk ye in it. Hallelujah. And so when you go out, you're a herald. You're letting ever know I'm a one God, apostolic, tongue talking, holy rolling, born again, heaven bound believer in the liberated power of Jesus' name. But you can't do that if you never get refilled with the Holy Ghost. You can't do that if you stay twice dead, plucked up by the roots. Amen. 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 Oh, come on. I'm preaching tonight to you. You better hear this, preacher. It's not time for confusion. We got little brothers and little sisters in this church that need to have it made plain to them. We got brothers and sisters in this church, amen, that are in a crisis, and they don't need for us to be wondering what we believe. We need to have it nailed down. We need to have it specified. Come on, I'm preaching tonight. I used to go to Bell's Amusement Park. I loved that place. It was the hangout as youth. I'm ancient. Y'all don't even know about Bell's, you younger ones, but that was the place all the youth went. Bell's, and then we went to Crystal's Pizza and Spaghetti to eat afterward. Brother Hayward remembers. And we had a curfew. A decent curfew. 12 o'clock. Oh, I might get to hang out till 1 o'clock after I got into my 20-somethings. But in my 20-somethings, mom and dad, I still lived under their roof. I was respectful. And I came home at a decent time. I didn't stay out on. That was free. I'm going to not chase a bunch of rabbits tonight. I'm going to stay on course. Amen. Now, why did we go to Crystal's and... Oh, I know what it was. We were at Bell's before we went to Crystal's. You got to be careful when you preach. You got to be careful when you listen. Amen. Hey, the preacher can be preaching. You can be at McDonald's. The preacher can be preaching. You can be at Walmart. The preacher can be preaching. You can be at Bell's. And you don't even know what it is. You just want to go there. Time I'm through tonight, y'all probably all don't want to go to Bell's. By the way, they're supposed to open it back up. We don't know when. We don't know where. But they keep saying. But there was one thing in Bell's that I disliked above all else. And you ought to say when you hear it, Pastor, that makes sense. You ought to feel that way. It was called the labyrinth. Anybody ever went through a labyrinth? Oh, I hated that thing because I didn't know where I'd be going. I think I know where I was going and splat. Because everything was clear. And there was a way to get through the labyrinth, through the maze. But you had to be really careful. And I'm going to tell you what. You got to be prayerful and careful to get through this labyrinth called this world. But the church of the living God is not a labyrinth. Preach with me tonight. The church of the living God is not do we believe it or don't we believe it. What do I think? What do I don't think? This is not an opinion. This is an absolute... Don't teach a Bible study if you don't believe what I'm preaching tonight, because you'll cause confusion. Nail it down, young person. I want you to be a Bible study teacher, but don't go in there and cause confusion. God is not the author of confusion. If you don't believe it, don't teach it. I don't want an algebra teacher teaching me algebra if they don't believe it. And I don't want an apostolic teaching me if they don't believe the apostolic message. I don't know how to make it any more plain to you tonight. But we need to get past this indecision, young people. We need to get past this indecision, families. Moms and dads, you're called, amen, to preach to your children. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. You need to do it in the morning when you get up. You need to do it at night when you put them to bed. They shouldn't have to wonder, what does mom believe? What does dad believe? Amen. And all you're doing, if you're sowing seeds of a different belief than what the pastor's teaching, all you're doing is harming your children. You're not doing yourself or them any good at all. Don't teach your opinions. Amen. I thought, dear God, last night when God was talking to me about this, I said, I've never heard it any plainer than that, God. I'm going to preach to that to this people. Amen. Set boundaries on your exposure. Hey, if you're going to get mad or feel like you need to set boundaries on your children with electronics, and you do, then set them on yourself. Amen. If you're going to set boundaries on your children, amen, with their entertainment, then you need to set boundaries upon yourself and what you read and what you question and what you think, because it's important. They're watching you. Don't teach questions. Teach answers. Amen. If you got, don't have it settled in your heart, don't teach it. I'm preaching to you tonight, church. I've done this over and over and over. We got young people in this church that by now you ought to have some of this stuff nailed down. If you've been here more than 4, 5, 6 years, hey, there's no excuses. You shouldn't have to wonder what this church teaches for. That's a trick of the devil. I resent that spirit. That's not a God. That's a fleshly thing. The pastor has made it plain where he stands. Praise the name of the Lord. You know what? It's a shame when some of you in this church act like you don't know what we believe, but we are identified out there by other believers, and they don't have questions about what the Sepulpa Church believes. I'm being plain tonight, because I'm going to have revival in this church in 2020, and I'm going to tell you, there's some spirits of questioning that's got to go. There's some spirits that's not nailed down that needs to repent starting tonight. We need to nail some things down. I can't. I cannot have enough Bible studies. I cannot have enough church services. Amen. To help you get past questions. If you don't have a willingness in your soul, you've got to have a hunger. They that hunger and thirst after righteousness shall be filled. Well, praise God. My dad sold heating and air conditioning equipment. And we loved, us kids loved playing in those big tall furnace boxes. Man, they made the best cowboy and Indian huts. Mike and Keith Daniels liked it so much, they played bow and arrow. Keith hunted and Mike got shot. Right through the box, right into the body. They didn't play that no more. All of a sudden, that which was entertainment was forbidden. But it's kind of like the spiritual labyrinth. The labyrinth belongs at Bell's, not in the church. Let me say it again. The labyrinth belongs at Bell's, not in the church. But that box, every box that came to our house, this way is up. This side up. Because, yes, it is clear. Because if you don't know that, you'll get hurt. Trust me, because I got on that too heavy end. You know, here's the deal. Brother Marshall, if he could see the unit, it was exposed. He always took the toughy end because he was 200 plus pounds and I was 150 pounds. I was 150 pounds. Man, what a dream. There was a day. But anyway, sometimes we would make mistakes. But if we would just look at the arrow, it would tell us this side up. If I remember, and you men correct me, but it seemed like this side up always meant the lighter end was the arrow up. And the heavy stuff was at the bottom. Does that sound right? So I always chose the up arrow. Because I was little. Brother Marshall could carry a lot of weight. Amen. And I always, let me stop here just for a minute. This is a good teaching point too. Don't try to be something you're not. What a foolish thing I would have done. Act like I was Brother Marshall. Oh, I'll carry that. What a mess. Double hernias all the way. You go, guy. I'm trying to be serious tonight. This is a serious message. But I just can't help myself sometimes. Amen. I'm Brother Easter's son. But anyway, also, I've learned in 20 years of pastoring, there were some things I did not need to carry when I was helping. I helped Brother Marshall in air conditioning, and I also helped him in ministry. But I was not the pastor. How foolish I would have been to say, oh, counsel that person. We had someone around here sometime doing some counseling. I didn't ask them to counsel. Created a lot of mess. Unless I ask you to do something, don't take it upon yourself. Now, you clean the toilets anytime you want to. You mow the grass anytime you want to. But when you're messing with somebody's spiritual life, don't you teach your opinions. Don't you cause unnecessary confusion in the church. Amen. Amen. Come on. I'm trying to preach to us tonight. Don't just do things your way. Come on. I did not just teach my opinions when I was with Brother Marshall. I let him. Oh, I taught and I preached, but I watched very closely. I left a lot of stuff to the pastor because there can only be one voice in the church. There can only be one way in the church. Amen. 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 And so what about these opinions? Because I felt in prayer, I felt convicted that I needed to deal with this. Because I know some of y'all are going to ask me, well, what about you, Brother Marshall? What about your opinions? Well, let's deal with that for a moment. Deuteronomy chapter 27, this bless my soul. I think it's going to bless some of you too because you may not know it was in there. I missed it. Deuteronomy 27 and verse number 8. Would you throw it up on the board there? And thou shalt write upon the stones all the words of this law very plainly. And it hit me like a ton of bricks. That's why they want the Ten Commandments removed from our courthouses. That's why they want the Ten Commandments removed from any public place, because the Word of God says it. They said, write it and make it plain. That's the thing they hate worse. Amen. They don't hate for you to shout. The devil will hate, let you shout all day. Amen. They don't hate for you to do good works. The devil will let you do good works all day. But you start writing, didn't make it plain, my friend. You start to tell them this is the way, walk you in it. And as soon as they feel conviction of their spirit and they're not ready to change, you got a war on your hands. And I'm telling you, that's the reason why the Ten Commandments have been removed from a lot of places. But the Bible says this is the way. I want it to be made plain. Well, friend, let me tell you something. If the Ten Commandments are supposed to be plain and written in stone, and there's a settled about the law, that's still the same way in the grace. I understand there's some things by the law that were pertinent to the Israelites alone, but there's a whole lot of it that came through the veil, and there's a whole lot in this grace time, amen, that's not a license to sin, but it's still that we need to write what we believe down, and we need to declare it and make it plain. The Word of God is forever settled in heaven. Okay, let's deal with pastors' opinions. Pastor is not just up here teaching opinions. And this is what God shared with me. If you don't think it's plain in the scripture, Brother Boffman, I hope I'm not quoting him wrong, but it seems like he sang a song that went something like this. If the Bible's wrong, somebody's got to be right. Now, you may not like that song, but there's a lot of truth in it. There's something going to be there. There's always rights, and there's always wrongs. And I love the sign that's in Sister Hayworth and Sister Thomas's class. Right is always right, no matter whether nobody's doing it. And wrong is always wrong, no matter whether everybody's doing it. You hear me? I hope I said that right. Amen. Right is always right, and wrong is always wrong. Okay, so those are things. But you know what? There's people to debate you whether they should have more than one wife or not. There's people that debate you whether they have more. It's not just about whether you should cut your hair or whether you should wear makeup or shouldn't wear makeup. It's not just where you should go and what you should say and what you should do. People that are always questioning things, if they're not careful, they'll end up drawing a line anywhere. It's like what I preached today about the source. It always starts somewhere, but the source has to have boundaries or else it just overflows everything. If we're going to let everything overflow everything, let's let it be the Word and the Holy Ghost. Otherwise, it needs boundaries. So here's the deal. The pastor teaches. There's no question. If you want it to be holy, you got to have the Holy Ghost. Holy Ghost. You belong to God. You're holy because He is holy. It's the Holy Bible because it belongs to God. It's the Word of God. Except you have His Spirit, you're none of His. So you can say all day long, well, I don't believe I ought to have the Holy Ghost. Well, the Word of God says it, so you're a liar. Now, guys, I didn't call you a liar if you don't believe that. The Lord did. Amen. Except ye believe I am He, ye shall die in your sins. I have a person that believes that all parts of the government ought to be equal. The president should never have any more power than the Congress has and the Supreme Court and all that. I said, that's just Trinitarian. I said, I don't believe that for nothing. I said, the United States has always operated best when there's a strong chief executive, because there can only be one leader. Friend, now, I love my friend, but that's just the way I believe. And I believe it in the church. You can't have 10 pastors. You got one shepherd. Amen. And there is one God. And there is one shepherd. And there's one head of the home. Oh, praise God. You know, sometimes it's hard when wives that don't have husbands saved. And all of a sudden, their husband gets saved. And it's hard because she's been the spiritual leader of that house. And all of a sudden, she needs to acquiesce her role and let him do what he's godly appointed to do. And if she don't, there'll be a mess. Because again, there's one God. There's one pastor, one shepherd. There's one leader head of the household. Amen. My pastor. Bless his heart. He voted. He asked the church to vote. He didn't vote. He asked the church to vote to seat me as his co-pastor. And in doing that, he needed help. He was a very sickly man. And yet he wasn't ready to resign the church. He was still very active. He did all the selections of the ministry. He did all the counseling. He did all the stuff. And he just kept wanting me, well, son, take authority. Son. Finally, I was so vexed, and I knew what he meant. I knew that he meant well, but I said, I don't know what else to tell you, but it won't work. And so he prayed, and he come back. Now, you just got to know Brother Marshall. He's a country boy through and through, and when he explained something to you, it was going to be just like right down in the grapevine, right down in where the rubber meets the road. He said, son, I get it. A two-headed beast is a freak. I said, that's right, Dad. I said, whatever God wills. But I said, right now, you're the pastor. There can only be one. And we had no problems. You hear me? When you do it the Bible way, you should overcome any problem you have. When you do it the Bible way and you're in line with God and the man of God, it'll take care of a lot of questions. Let me say it again. When you're really submitted to God and the man of God, it'll take a lot to care a lot of your questions. You won't wonder so many things. Let me just deal with something real quick about where the pastor stands on things that you don't feel like are clearly stated in the Bible of thou shalt not. I mean, if we want to be clear, it doesn't say thou shalt not smoke cigarettes. But I just don't have people contending to smoke. Isn't that something? But I have had a lot of, we want to go see movies. We're going to go see movies. We want to go and play football. We want to go cut our hair. We want to go do this. But, well, it's the same thing. It's the same thing. You know why it's the same thing? Because the Bible doesn't say thou shalt not smoke, but we know it's taking us away from God. We know it's defiling the temple of the living God. Constant carnality of involvement in entertainment is doing the same. I'm going to repeat this, as I said this morning. Amen. Just recently on a Pentecostal forum, these guys on this one forum, they aggravate me. They don't hardly believe fat meat's greasy. I mean, it's ridiculous how little they believe. And they used to believe it. Stay backslid in their soul, and they're still calling themselves pastors. God help us! How many of y'all regularly show movies in your sanctuary? We do. Just want to know who else does. And I thought, Lord, how should I respond to that? Should I respond at all? Because sometimes you need to respond. Sometimes you need to keep your mouth shut. But I wouldn't have responded except God pricked my heart. And here's what I felt. I'd been praying last night. And this thought came to my mind. Jesus, you died and suffered on the cross and went through all of that persecution and tribulation so that we could set up church houses to watch the Super Bowl and entertain ourselves with movies? I think not. Friend, if you don't sacred something, there's nothing going to be sacred in your life. Let me say it again. If you don't sacred something, there's nothing that's going to be sacred in your life. And so here's where the pastor's, what you might call opinions, come from. If it's not specified, thou shalt not, in the Bible, here's where the pastor comes from it. He comes from it from a long time observation of where it takes folks. That's a simple, I'm telling you, if you put on something, amen, that's not common to a Christian, what it's going to do is you're going to focus on it all the time. If it makes you feel a little bit better, matter about your flesh, then you need to stay away from it. Oh, come on. I'm talking about it. Amen. I hear men contend for certain things. I hear women contend for certain things that they want to do. And if it's away from what they used to do, that they used to feel conviction of, I've never seen one preacher or one saint get closer to God over it. That's enough for me. That settles it for me. I'm your pastor. It's settled. I'm not going to let it be okay. Amen. There may be somebody in the church that does it, but I'm not going to sanction it from this pulpit. It's not going to happen during my pastorate. Why? Because I've seen where it leads and where it takes. Hey, you don't need any more Bible and verse for that. The deal is, do you want to go to heaven or don't you? Amen. Because it's all about direction. I don't know how to preach this any plainer tonight. Amen. Amen. Now let me, so that's where that's at. There's some things it's about moderation. The Bible doesn't say thou shalt not eat. But it does talk about being gluttonous. Well, that's your opinion, if I'm a glutton or not. Well, let's check it out. I want to be the sacrificial lamb for a minute. The world calls me obese. The science world. And you know what? There is a level that my body tells me, oh son, you need to drop the fork down on the table. You need to get to walking again. Because I'm wanting to sleep more and more and more. Okay, I'm going to stop right there. But I'm trying to show us, is eating a sin? Not unless you make it. But I'm telling you, there's things of entertainment that they whet appetites. Since we're already in the flesh, let's just talk about it. God gave you some body accrements that create life. And it's natural. But according to the Word of God, you should keep them put up and hidden until their time. I don't know how to say it any plainer, but that's Bible. Because if you open it before its time, it becomes a snare to you. Amen. And there's people in this church that you've been blood bought. You've been mercy sought. But I'm not going to call on you tonight, but you could be a testimony and say, that's right, Pastor. I have regrets. I wish I would have known what the Word of God said before I come to God. I wish I would have known, because there's some things I would have done totally different, because I opened something up before its time and it became a hardship to me. But you got to have boundaries. There was one pastor that taught that that was only for children, procreation. So he just had a lot of children. Come on. We got to have balance, church. The Bible doesn't say that. But Paul did say, if you can't control yourself, you better get married. He didn't say you better sleep around. You better search them out. You're not like my dog that wouldn't stay in the yard. Or you shouldn't be. This makes some of you uncomfortable. But I'd rather you hear it here at the church and say, shun the very appearance of evil, than you learn about it on the playground at school where it's vulgar. I'm telling you, I've told my children, don't you act like you don't want to talk to Dad about this and let Dad help you with this issue. It's my God-given privilege. I want to teach you about it, about what the Word of God says and about the privilege it is. But there's some responsibilities you need to get right first before you take care of the privilege. Young man, young lady, you don't need to get married until you know you can support a home. You don't need to say, I do, until you know that you would die for that individual. Not about what they look. Ooh, he has abs. Ooh, she has. Oh, you know. well, she's going to have some gravity one day, too, and so are you. And then you're going to have to decide, do I love her? Do I love her not? Do I love her? Do I love her not? And you better, if you want to be saved, end up on do I love her? Yes, I love her. In sickness and in health, in richer for poor. Sister Marshall said, don't use me as an example, honey, is it free will? But she sits there, you know, as she is, she's been all broken up this year. It's been one thing after another that she's went through. That's enough for some men to go get another. Well, I'm just telling you the truth. And keep teaching Sunday school. Keep pastoring the church. Come on. And it used to be down the street in the denominational church. Now it's come chickens have come home to roost. And we're being asked to ordain it in the apostolic Pentecostal faith. Even among some of the conservatives. I say not so. Come out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord. Judgment begins at the house of the Lord. One wife. Amen. The devil knows there's one Lord and trembles. I have one wife and tremble. Praise God. Now let's talk about this little thing, because this is another issue that's creeping in among us that will cause great harm. Ecclesiastes 2:5, I believe. I can't see my writing here. Oh, how comely is the wisdom of old men in understanding counsel to men of honor. We have a little kid at school. He's so rude. He's about the size of a kindergartner, and he's in sixth grade. And so he's wiry and sneaky and all this, and he has no couth about himself at all. He'll spit on you. He'll run out in front. I'm telling you, it could be the superintendent of the schools walking in the door. It could be Donald Trump. It means nothing to him. He don't even know, and he should. But it's not that he can't learn. It's that he has been allowed to be stubborn because of his disability, and he's been accommodated and modified to the point that he is rebellious. Let's call it what it is. I believe in accommodations and modifications, and I believe in special education, but I'm going to tell you what. The school is not better because it spares the rod. It's for the child. The school is not better because it took prayer out of schools. The school has brought its own problems upon itself because it took away the principles of the Word of God out of the schoolhouse to accommodate false doctrine. Isn't it a shame in the United States of America that we can be expected to give witchcraft head, and we can expect to do Islam and give it all credit and make sure they have places to be and places to do and things, but oh, the Word of God, the principle of the Word of God, don't let it. I'm glad Bible classes, amen, are, I know they're not into public education, but at least at the very minimum, they're being allowed to come back to the gymnasiums to where you can go if you want to. At least it's a start. At least it's a match. At least it's a start of a fire. We need the help of the Lord. You're not going to excel in life by disdaining the elder. Amen. Proverbs 20:29, the glory of the young man is their strength. And the gray hair is the splendor of the old. Or in the ESV, the honor of old men is their gray hair. Now I know that there are gray-headed adulterers. I know that there are gray-headed molesters. I understand that. And what they are is what they are. And we need to shun the very appearance of evil. But it's a shame and a stench in the nostrils of God if the church ever stoops to the place that it's less it's young and yumpy, it's not cool, and it don't belong here. I wish we had a whole church full of white-headed people. I grieve every time one of them goes to glory. I'm thankful that they've returned their eternal reward. But I'm telling you, their death cannot be replaced. They've got a wisdom, and they've got a gold that cannot be replaced. And woe be unto the young person that acts like it's not important. And here's what gripes me good. Older people are dying their honor. Yeah. Ashamed of those gray hairs. Why are you ashamed of something that God specifically says is ordained of God? It's an honor. How would y'all like it if the next time Sister Shanks came to church, Brother, what's his name? He passed away. He was a jail man, Sister Marshall. Brother Mahaney. Brother Mahaney, he was a joke a minute. And he went to an airport and he said, this woman, he said she looked like a struck match. And she was so old, she was so wrinkled, she had pancake makeup on like crazy, and her hair was jet black. It was all gray, really. You would be horrified if Sister Shanks walked in here and sat down and she had poured jet black paint all over her hair. But we had a lady that did that with a bleach bottle because her daughters told her that she needed to look younger. So you know what she got? Yeah. Yeah. So we gotta, please, I understand the temptations. Oh, friend, who I ever. My dad was long-suffering with me on some things. You should have seen some of the clothes that I wore when I was a young person. I look back and I think, dear Lord, what was wrong with me? I was so influenced by issues and things like that. But I'm so thankful that God got a hold of my soul and said, son, quit following every fashion of the world. Find the truth. Find a satisfaction in the truth of peace of your soul. Because one of these days, you're going to look like this. And you better have the Holy Ghost. Because this is a mess. It would cost me a fortune to get right, as the world calls right. I'd break my... There, I don't know how to do it. I'm so far gone. I told y'all I wouldn't go chase rabbits, but help us, Lord. Let's talk about these young men and old men. Old men are for counsel, and young men are for war. Now, this is troubling to me, because I am more in the neighborhood of counsel than war. It looks, you know, what will take you on? I tell my boys when I have to deal with them, look, I'm not foolish. I know you could probably put me under the table, but bless your heart, what a foolish thing that's going to make you look like. Hey, my boys are stout. Don't take on my boys. Unless you're ready to take them down. They're stout. Probably just set them up. But anyway, I'm quite sure they could take me down a notch or two, but what a shame. What a shame. And yet there's this other issue. If the old men are for counsel and the young men are for war, you know what war is in the house of the Lord? Doing the things that expend a lot of energy. There's things that will wear a pastor down if he has to do it all. But there's some young bucks coming on. But the thing of it is, there can be a whole crew and whole arsenal of young bucks, and if they all say, not me, not me, not me, not me, oh, I'm working, oh, I'm sick, oh, I'm this, oh, I'm that, oh, I'm, oh, I'm, oh, I'm, oh, I'm, oh, I'm, come on, settle it, you're called of God, and make it plain, you're a workman, called of God that needed to not be ashamed. I know we have moments, amen, that we're doing things, but we need to have availability for the house of the Lord as well. It's more than just showing up, we need to show out, we need to let the people know, amen, what God has called us to do. Oh, let's praise the Lord. Amen. I'm not going to be a whole lot longer, but I want to cover these points tonight because they're so good. God really spoke to me last night. We are in a battle with sin, Satan in our flesh, and he's playing for keeps. Proverbs 24:6 says, for by wise counsel thou shalt make war, and in a multitude of counselors there is safety. Oh, Lord, help us. We've got to be so careful about this. I'm talking about writing it, making it plain, nailing it down, settling what you believe. If you're not careful, you're going to be so wishy-washy, you're going to want everybody's opinion about what it says, and you're going to ask everybody's opinion. There's some people, you don't need their opinion. because they're always going to be on the loose. They're always going to be on the lamb. They're always going to be on the fence. You know where I get my counsel? I get my counsel from men of God that's been doing the right thing for a long time. Amen. Because I got a sheep to watch over. Amen. I've got sheep that are counting on me to make sure that I'm under authority as I'm calling you to be under authority. And you want to make sure, amen, that my counselors are strong and steadfast and not here a little, there a little. I'm not interested in asking the new guy how you getting it done just because there's numbers. I want to know, is it built on prayer? Is it built on fasting? Is it built on worship? Is it built on holiness, without which no man shall see God? Friend, if you throw holiness out the door, the Holy Ghost is going to leave the building. You can count it. You can write down. Because when you start looking like the world and you know better, you grieve the Holy Spirit of God wherewith you are sealed. Amen. To the day of redemption. Amen. Now there's always going to be an apple that falls out of the bucket. There's always going to be a rabbit that gets out of the row. But I'll tell you whether you can tell whether a church believes in separation or not. If nobody in the church looks anything different than the world, you can rest assured there's no outward separation. There ought to always be those coming in getting right with God that are still learning what the Lord expects for them to do, and we need to bear with them. But hear me, if you've been living for God a long, long time and you just aren't getting it right because you're just obstinate and willful, that's your issue. And God will deal with you on that. But the church needs to keep going on. The church should not be frivolous. Every decision counts. Mom, if you always have questions, you're going to gender that into your children. Dad, if you always have questions, you're going to gender that into your children. Hey, with my dad, it wasn't, are we going to church tonight or not? No. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Our house got hit by a tornado one time. I understand you staying home if your house gets hit by a tornado. I get that. But after Dad made sure everything was safe and the family was safe, he came straight to the church. He said, son, let's go to the church. And there was not a single soul here. There wasn't a sheep to watch over. But he was concerned about the sheepfold where they meet. Because why? Because he had the heart of a shepherd. He was not a hireling. Amen. And so we need to understand these things that's so crucial to us. Every decision counts. Souls are weighing in the balance. I've got to show my children a made-up mind. I've got to show the... Hey, I'm telling you, I had a lady come here for a while. She was determined that she was going to change this pastor. She walked through this door with the intent of changing my message. And her parting words to me was, Brother Marshall, I give up. I came here. I love you. I care. And she really did think she loved me. She really did. But her parting words was, I give up. You're never going to change. Thanks be unto God. They give us the victory again and again. She's not walking with God today. I wish she would come back, but I'm still holding the mark. I'm still saying there's some boundaries I'm not going to cross. I'm still saying there's some things that's right and there's some things that's wrong. Let's clap our hands to the Lord today. You can, listen to me, you can be settled in your heart in the complete wrong direction. Soleimani, you ever heard of him? He's no longer with us. No. I understand, but that's not my point. He was rabidly a fanatic about what he did. Would to God we'd get busy about the things of God as much as Soleimani was busy about doing the things of evil. That stands in judgment against us. If we can't decide whether we want to come to church or not and be faithful, if we can't decide if we just want one foot in the world and one foot in the church. No, Soleimani wasn't like that. He was wholly given over to the spirit of who he served. See, here's the danger. There's Soleimani and then there's Sister Shanks. What a comparison. I'm trying to make a point, folks. And all these in between think they can get by with being neither. No, it's not what the Bible says. If you're going to please God, you're either going to be Soleimani or Sister Shanks. Well, you can't please God and be Soleimani, but you can please the devil. Now, the devil will be really happy with you if you're not Sister Shanks. He'll be thrilled. He'll be really thrilled if you're Soleimani. But he'll be real happy if you're just kind of in the middle. But there is a God that we serve that will spew you out of his mouth. You are lukewarm. Lukewarm Laodicea. The reason it was called that was it was a place where two waters meet. One was hot and one was cold. And so when they got there and they met, it was just lukewarm. How many likes lukewarm pop? How many likes lukewarm milk? What do you think? Yeah, that's how God's going to be about you. Don't you think God is so merciful and so winking that he's going to let you get by with being cold and carnal and indifferent? You may sit on a pew. You may pay your tithe. You may lift your hands. But friend, when the day of reckoning comes, he's going to say, depart from me, ye that work iniquity. I have never knew you. You're either on fire for God or you're on fire for the devil. Or if you're in between, you're neither and you're lukewarm. We got to understand what this thing is called settling it and making it plain. Oh, I want some Papa Church to do that. Amen. But don't you sit and criticize everything just because somebody's not doing right and act like the church is going to hell in a handbasket. I rebuke that spirit too. Amen. We bear with them that are weak, but we're going on into the grace and knowledge of truth. What hope have they if we drop the ball and go there with them? Oh no, somebody's got to leave the light on. Somebody's got to be a motel of truth. Somebody's got to help the lost and the weary and the wandering. Let's love the Lord today. Rebellion? I doubt there's anybody in here with any common sense that would allow somebody to bring the wicker box right in the back door of this church. And I also doubt there's anybody that would unlock the padlock and stick your hands in there and play around and say, ooh, I want to see this, I want to see that, I want to check this out. Your spirit is rotten in you if you do, because there's power in that box. Don't be deceived. The devil has power. But you listen to me. The Bible that I read also says rebellion is just the sin of witchcraft. Moms and dads, I know we're trying to teach our children to be independent. Sunday school teachers, I know we're trying to teach our children to get the word of the Lord for themselves. But we just need to be settled and make it plain. And if you don't know, don't teach on it. I'm going to say that again. This is what I do in Bible study when I teach Bible studies. Sometimes I don't know the question they're asking me. I don't plunge in and give my opinion. I say, hey, I'm going to get back with you. And I'll call another pastor and I'll seek his counsel. If he doesn't satisfy me, amen. If I don't feel like he knows, I'm going to pray and I'm going to say, God, help me find this, and I'm going to search because I want to tell that person not just my opinion but some proof, some absolute that it either sells it spelled out, or it's just the best thing for us to do. It's the most expedient. All things are lawful, but all things are not expedient. Just because you can spit in the floor of the vestibule before you leave tonight doesn't mean you ought to. Don't you do it. We'll have to clean it up. Amen. But you could do it. People leave church services and go home and cut themselves. You shouldn't do it. Just because you can do it, don't mean you should do it. Come on. I'm talking to us tonight. I'm pleading with us to come off of this questioning and undecided about what we believe or what we don't believe. Let's just nail some things down. You have proof in the pudding. You've seen people, amen, separate themselves from the world. And you've seen the blessings that their life has had. You've seen them blessed of the Lord. You've seen them growing in the grace and knowledge of God. You've seen them have a peace which passes all understanding. Amen. Oh, what more do you need? Amen. Young people and adults, it's important where you go, who you see, what you listen to, and what you're involved in. Eternally important. We're living in an I can handle this. iPhone, I this, I that, I can handle it. I. I'm going to tell you what. Teenage years can be a very rebellious time. 20-something can be a very rebellious time. And just because they say you could be a man don't mean you are a man. Just because they say you can make all your decisions don't mean that you need to be making your decisions alone. I don't want the saints asking me when they ought to blow their nose. But help us, Jesus. If it's a life-changing decision, and you don't even think enough of the man of God that God has put over you to ask, amen, to help and pray and ask his counsel on it, you're missing something. You're missing something. Just because you have the age to make the decisions by yourself doesn't mean you need to. I seldom make a critical decision except I talk to my wife about it and I seek the counsel of an elder about it. I may even talk to the church folks about it. I've sought your counsel before. Just because I'm your pastor doesn't mean I can't learn anything from you. I learn from you precious people all the time. Amen. Let the word of God be true. What if I don't believe it? I hear people say that. Well, what if I don't believe it? Well, you're in trouble. If it's spelled in the Word of God, written down, and you disobey it, you're in trouble. If you've been given godly counsel by a praying man of God that's going to lead you the wrong direction and you determine to do it anyway, you're in trouble. Just because Facebook shows more and more Pentecostals going to entertainment that we should shun and used to shun doesn't mean it's right. I'm weary of it. I'm weary of it. You know what's happening? I'll tell you what's happening. Because iniquity abounds, the love of many shall wax cold. You know who plays Super Bowl in their sanctuary? Those that have no conviction that there should be a sacred place. I might as well just throw a greasy hamburger down on the altar and rub it in. There is a place. I might throw the hamburger on the table at the house, but if there's a place that I pray in, I'm not going to slap that hamburger down there like it don't matter. I'm telling you, that grieves the Holy Ghost. But we got to have wisdom too. There's some home missions churches. They can't afford to have their own place of worship yet. And it might be a garage all week long, but on Sunday morning, Sunday afternoon, whenever they're allowed to get in there, it's the church house. They're going to have to go pray some spirits out because there's some cussing and some ugly stuff going around all week and those spirits can linger. Hear me. I said it this morning, but if you're comfortable around cussing, there's something wrong with you. If you're comfortable around vulgarity and dirty jokes, there's something wrong with you. Your Holy Ghost leaks. Your Holy Ghost leaks. Don't act like that God's going to do great things in you like that. A double-minded man is unstable in all of his ways. I'm talking about those things are only going to go out with repentance. There cannot be. You can't preach that out. You can't pray that out. You got to repent that out because it's a lust of the flesh and it's something that only a sacrifice, amen, and a broken heart and a contrite spirit will remove from you. But I tell you what will happen. When you get that broken heart and contrite spirit, you're going to have a real desire to pray. And you're going to have a real desire to be clean. Oh, remember what it felt like when you got the Holy Ghost the first time? You remember what that felt like? I want you to know, if you'll shun the very appearance of evil and quit questioning things and just submit your whole heart to God, you'll grow in grace and knowledge of truth, and you can develop a spiritual life that you'll find great satisfaction in the moving of the Holy Ghost, and you can have those experiences over and over and over and over and over again. I'm almost done. Instant information, instant gratification. There's seldom, when you search on Wikipedia or Google, it seldom gives you a message that it doesn't know. It always has an opinion. It always has information. It's the information superhighway. And I'm telling you, it's a blessing, but it's also a double-edged thing. It can be a curse, because it has weakened our churches spiritually. This is great. Now, Brother Easter says it's not. Songs on the wall don't satisfy at all. Bless you. He's so funny. I like the songbooks. This is fine. But I'm telling you what. You search those songbooks, and you'll find more of the three and repeat, three and repeat, three and three, three and repeat. Feel good, feel good. If you'll search some of the lyrics that we sing, a lot of it's trending over to how I feel right now. What we need to do is make sure we're nailing it down with, when we all get to heaven, what a day of rejoicing that will be. Amen. Amen. On a hill far away stood an old rugged cross, the emblem of suffering and shame. I'm talking about songs. Amen. That will pray. And some of these songs do too. But let's make sure that just because we like it doesn't mean that it's the right thing. You can go to a concert, and in and of itself, it's not going to take you to hell. Maybe it's a secular Christian type concert, and they have some songs that make you laugh. You didn't necessarily commit a grievous sin, but don't bring that to the church house and say, let's do that. There's a place and a time, amen. But the sanctuary needs to be the sanctuary. This is the place that we get things right with God. This is the place that we humble ourselves. I love to sing. I love to shout. But the day the altar goes out is the day the church dies. The day that we can no longer weep and cry before the throne of God and get a hold of the thorns of the altar, horns of the altar, is the day the church dies. It's more than just a happy. It's more than just a sing and a shout. But I'm telling you, you'll really be happy when you cry before a holy God and say, it's me, Lord, standing in the need of prayer. Check my heart. See if there be any wicked way in me. And be honest and honest to God. Instant gratification can become a sellout. One night stands. And he seduces you. He tells you he loves you. And he takes your moral purity. Or now she takes your moral purity. Used to, it was mostly men that did that. Now, the women are brazen. Whew, I'm getting his hide. He's hot. He's hot. Now, church, listen. I'm saying these things because this is what they're hearing. This is what they're taught at school. Not so much from some teachers do it. Most teachers don't do that. Hey, I'm not going to be up here running down public school. I see a lot of good things happen at public school. But there is a spirit that wants to seduce them. And you don't need, hey, more than he's hot, more than she's hot, is do they pray? Do they worship God? What are they willing to do for God? Do they have a relationship with God? Because you know what? God just doesn't want to give you a life together right now. He wants you to get to go to heaven together. Hallelujah. Oh, I realize there's not giving in marriage up there. Amen. But I'm going to tell you what. The Lord, amen, when he sanctions a marriage, he expects them to be till death do us part, so they'll be ready to meet the Lord in the air. Praise God. I'm talking about a real deal. But if it's a one-night stand, he might have smelt good. He might have had the best cologne on. He might have taken you to a real nice restaurant and then said, if you really love me, you... And then, after it's all over, just real quickly... It's God. Then you know. It was a sellout. Why did you say all that, Brother Marshall? For two reasons. Number one, you need to consider your ways so you don't fall into that trap. And if you're here and you've fallen into that trap, don't mean you have to keep doing it. Don't get burned again and again and again. Ooh, hallelujah. I want to marry young people that I preach to and I've talked to that's kept their moral purity, and they can stand before a holy God and a holy man of God in holy matrimony. I know I've married, amen, situations to where they neither want to live for God. They don't know the message, but they're trying to get their lives right and they're willing to get married. But I'm telling you, judgment begins at the house of God. And we need to step away from sellout. And we need to sell out to God and make a commitment. You know why I married Sister Marshall? I didn't say, I probably shouldn't. I didn't say, you are hot. I'm telling you, she would have slapped my face. I wouldn't have seen her face no more. I loved her because she loved God. Now, I could preach to congregations in Pentecost that would laugh me to scorn. Now, that's sad, but it's true, Sister Watt. Well, he's just nothing but an old fogey. That's not the way it is anymore. That's not how you find true love. It's lust and then love. No. That begins in lust doesn't turn into love without some help of God. Amen. I loved her because she loved God. I said, God, if she loves you that much, there must be something for me. I'm trying to help you. Be patient. Hey, if you can't help yourself, we'll help you. We'll start a watch program and get you somebody. We'll do a what do you call it, an arranged marriage stuff around here. No, I'm playing. But you know what I'm saying. If you'll be patient, sometimes you have to wait a little while. She was worth the wait. I can't even imagine someone else besides her. She's perfect for me. Amen. Deuteronomy 26 and 8, and God brought us forth out of Egypt with a mighty, and I'm closing, if you will stand, the musician will come. And God brought us forth out of Egypt with a mighty hand and with an outstretched arm and with great terribleness and with signs and wonders. Oh, let's love the Lord. I'm telling you, if you will submit to the Word of God, put away your questions and put away, bring to embracing of the truth. Praise the Lord and teach it and make it plain. I'm telling you, there's a blessing. God blesses obedience. God blesses faithfulness. There's growth to become whenever you become like the Lord. There's growth to become when you put away the love of the world and the lust of the eye and the pride of life and say, God, I'm all yours. Oh, let's lift our voices to the Lord. These altars are open today. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Mixtures can be separated, but a solution cannot. When you become the Lord's, the only thing that can separate you is you yourself. Because when you become full of the Holy Ghost, God desires you to be a solution, not a problem, not a question, but an answer. Praise God. So the world can see everything. I'm all wrapped up, tied up, tangled all up in Jesus. Oh, praise the name of the Lord. Let's love Him again. Thank you.